But I think part of the reason why I wanted to bring this topic up is because my biggest thing is I love the ambiance. This is why we're on the stoop right now. I love this. I love all of it, Chad. I love all of it. This is why I wanted to do it. I want the background noise. This is the essence of the stoop right
here. You hear the scrape of the speed bump.
There you go. I love it. I love it.
Welcome to the stoop. My name is Kyle C. And as you can see, I'm not in the stoop. Remember, I just wanted to do this little quick video just as a reminder. So remember, these episodes are affectionately called the Stoop Preseason. And the reason why I'm calling it that is because back in November of 2025, I recorded a couple of episodes. I'm shooting off some mosquitoes here. This is why it's better to be on a stoop instead of a backyard. But the reason why I'm calling it the preseason is because back in November of 2025, I recorded a couple of episodes. Just to kind of test them and kind of launch it out. So before I put the new ones out, which will be out in a couple of weeks, I wanted to just release these ones that I did back in November. All right. So the first one is out, which is called Staying on Top, featuring Jonathan Boxhill, where we get into discussion about the culture, where we discuss many topics in that episode, actually. You know, I won't even ruin it for you. Go check that out, because that was an enjoyable conversation to have, well-rounded. Shout out to Jonathan Boxhill for that one, because that was very enjoyable, super enjoyable, as a matter of fact. And with that said, the next one, the next one is more of a sports topic. It's more of an annoying, overly used topic that we've seen in the sports world that, I mean, I can't stand at this stage in my life. I couldn't stand it then. I probably hate it more now, which is the LeBron versus Michael Jordan conversation. Who's better? Who's the GOAT? Oh, man, it's one of the most annoying conversations in sports. It seems like it just won't die, and I don't know why. But I'm joined by a friend of the podcast, Ryerson, and TMU Sports Hall of Famer and certified yoga instructor, Mr. Jan Michael Nation. He hopped on this project and we got into that whole discussion of why this topic needs to go. Basically, that's basically where it comes from. The topic needs to go. And that was the essence of that episode. And, you know, we get into a whole conversation about that. And some of the topics we get on, certain teams are looking going into the season. Remember, again, which is recorded November 2nd of 2025, the day after the Blue Jays lost. So the NBA season that just started, and we got into some conversations about that. So don't mind that, right? Just mind the essence of the episode, which again is about the Jordan versus LeBron topic and why it is not just overrated, but overused. All right. So we had enough. We had enough of this conversation, or at least I do anyway. So with that said, please make sure you hit the like and subscribe buttons. South Sharav is always available wherever you listen to podcasts or watch them. You can watch it on the South Sharav YouTube channel. Make sure you go to Apple Podcasts, Spotify, TuneIn, Alexa, wherever you listen to your podcast. You can go on the website as well over at SouthSharav.com. One more time for the emphasis, that's SouthSharav.com. Make sure you go tune into that. I appreciate the support as always. I'm grateful for that. And yeah, I just want you to check out this one. Like I said, the new ones are coming out in 2 weeks, and it's either the 21st or the 22nd. I'll announce that a little more closer to the day, probably next week. I will announce that. It's either the 21st or the 22nd. I haven't decided just yet, but those ones will start. And then, like I said, we're going to be bringing out some episodes for the summer and the fall. So, like I said, I'm glad you guys are here. Stay on this this channel. Make sure you watch this right now. Once again, this is The Stoop with Cal C on South Sharav. It's the preseason. Let's go. Welcome back to The Stoop, where I'm joined by a friend of the podcast, homie, writer, but also Ryerson and TMU Sports Hall of Famer, former professional basketball player overseas, certified yoga instructor as of right now. And I want to be clear about this. Although I like my coffee black, he likes his coffee brown. Please welcome Jan Michael Nation to the show.
How are you doing today, my sir?
I'm doing good. Thank you. I knew you were going to say something. I was like, where is this guy leading to this?
I had to.
Of course.
Inside joke. Yeah. Inside joke.
But I'm good, man. I'm good. Thank you for having me. This is something new, man.
Yeah, man. Appreciate you, man. Appreciate you. Thank you for riding with the process, man. I know you're a LeBron guy, right? So we're going to start there. I'm just going to get right into it. And normally I cannot stand this topic. I still don't like this topic at all. With that said, why do you think LeBron's better than Jordan? Just get it out
there. Okay, I won't say he's better. I'm just going to say this.
What?
Hold on. Just hold on. I think we should... Okay, I'm going to go back to 1996, the year... When he first retired. Was it 96?
He retired in 93.
93, sorry, yeah. He retired... Yeah, sorry, my bad. He retired in 93. And when... For whatever reasons, the game was missing a lot. And when he was away, I was like, wow, who do we look to now, right? Who's the next face? Moving forward, it made me realize his importance to the game and his importance to the league. And so, you know, now in today's society, we have LeBron joining debate. But I more or less want to appreciate these players now, because when they're gone, we can't, you know what I'm saying? They're not coming back. So my thing is appreciate these guys now. Like, for example, Jordan was a great winner in the sense of the six championships. Yes, you can never go against that. But when you're talking about overall play, what you bring to the table, he had great teams with him, you know what I'm saying, supporting him. You could talk about the eras of basketball back then compared to now, how the skill sets of players are way better now, you could say. You could argue that. I just want to appreciate this guy, because when he's gone, he's gone. There's not going to be nothing like him to replace him. You could tell. That's why he's still the face of the league now. So I'm not going to get into the debate of who's better. I just want to appreciate what he's doing now, because the game needs these guys to take it to the next frontier, and I don't think there's a next face coming.
I'm proud of you, Jan. I'm proud of you. This is a big step.
I know.
Holy cow.
Like, I've been watching a lot of Jordan stuff. Like, I can't forget his importance and his influence on all of us and what he did. Like, we would watch the games and go play ball afterward. You'd try to emulate all the commercials and the moves and, like, the when he beat Utah. And we finally retired, the second time, with the Bulls. That was a great send-off. The shot.
That's nothing better.
Right? You know? Nothing
better at that point.
What he's done off the court with the deals and everything, you know? Yeah. I got respect for the both eras, but, like, I appreciate LeBron because I like to see how he manipulates the game to the benefit of the team. So whether it's passing, rebounding, or playing defense, or scoring, you have to appreciate what he's done. When he came into the league, the hype that was coming around him, how he succeeded, passed all those expectations. He's the most hated athlete ever. And, like, I don't know any other athlete that could...
Some of it is self-inflicted,
though. Yes, definitely. Of course.
Yeah.
But... I just gotta, we have to learn to appreciate these people, because it takes a special man to do what they do. And, like, even when he's not even playing now. And it's just like, you're wondering, what can he bring to this table, what we're seeing from what the Lakers have? At year 23, I just think the longevity aspect is something that we have to take into consideration, because he's revolutionizing the standard of what it is to play at a high level. You know what I'm saying? Like, you know what I mean? Like... It's just to say, he's competing. He's like, this guy's year 23. He's like one of the top 10 players, questionably.
Yeah, questionably. But I like, you know, it's funny because the topic of this Jordan LeBron thing, and this is why I kind of wanted to do this a little bit. But I'll say this: I appreciate LeBron's career, so I'm not going to sit here and say like I'm a hater. Mm-hmm. I appreciate his career because. The expectation is a lot. The one thing that I like him for, has nothing to do with basketball. The fact that he was heading up that mountaintop and he brought his people guys with him and put them in places where they're now like the titans of industry in their respective genres. Yeah. I don't think you can like bypass that and not give at least respect to that.
Yeah.
Because that's huge. I think that's huge, because most people just get the agent, get the whoever they say is the top guy, the top person, And it's like, all right, well, I know Calvin helped me here as a manager, mm-hmm. but I'm getting David Falk now. I'm doing this, but the fact that she's like, no, I'm me and I'm taking Jan. Jan was my agent from here. No, Jan's going to be the biggest agent in mm-hmm. the world. Mm-hmm. You know what I mean? This one's going to be the biggest agent in the world. Mm-hmm. You know, our teammates, Dwight. Dwight's going to be the biggest such and such in the world now mm-hmm. because he's riding with this, mm-hmm. with this. That's what it's about. Mm-hmm. You know what I mean? So that's where I give him his props. The Jordan thing, and I'm a Magic guy. Okay. I'm Magic's my favorite player. You know what I mean? Like, mm-hmm. like when he retired the first time, Jan, it took everything in me not to bawl my eyes.
Oh, I cried. I wouldn't lie. The HIV scandal. Yeah, of course.
Yeah, that's my guy. Still my guy yeah. in terms of like how he impacted me as like a basketball player and stuff. Mm-hmm. But Jordan, I mean, I you have to respect the greatness of the things that he did for his career. The fact that he's still by far the number one shoe selling brand in. For basketball, yeah. it's not close. Yeah. Like, to me, it's like, it speaks to the power. Like, I have nephews and nieces that rock his shoes mm-hmm. and never saw him play live.
Wow.
You know what yeah. I'm saying? Like
the impact here.
Never saw him play live. Yeah. Like, I have to go to them to be like, yo, what's the plug for the Jays if I want a pair? Mm-hmm. You know what I mean? Like, mm-hmm. to me, that's that impact is like, when it's way past what you're doing
yeah.
like, you... How do you not give respect to that? Mm-hmm. You know what I mean? Mm-hmm. But the reason why, like, and like I said, I was proud of you for taking your stance to the thing of like, wow, it's amazing. Mm-hmm. It's growth, Jen. Mm-hmm. Growth. Mm-hmm. But I think part of the reason why I wanted to bring this topic up is because my biggest thing is I love the ambiance. This is why we're on the stoop right now. I love this. I love all of it, Chad. I love all of it. This is why I wanted to do it. I want the background noise. This is the essence of the stoop right
here. You hear the scrape of the speed bump. Yeah, yeah.
There you
yeah.
go. I love it. But the reason why I want to have this topic is because I'm like, it's a played out topic, Jan.
Yeah, it is.
It's a played out topic. And why are we still as sports fans having this? I'm a cuss. Having this fucking conversation.
I say this. You got people, you got Jordan fans that are very adamant. They're older, obviously. They're in more prominent positions on TV, so they're always going to push that narrative, I find. I think as time goes on, you're going to find people looking at it from a more objective standpoint, looking at the stats, looking at the achievements, looking at the numbers. You cannot deny any of their achievements across the board, which you can't. With that said, he's still playing. So I reserve judgment until he's done playing. Then I think you could put the full body of work comparably to each other, and then you could assess if you want. You could say Jordan was the best in his era. You could say LeBron was the best in his era, right?
Kobe was the best in his.
Yeah.
Kareem Abdul-Jabbar was the best
in his. Yeah. Right? You know, it's once again, it's all subjective.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? Like, we all have our favorites who we gravitate towards, too. Obviously, Jordan was the face of the league. Before that, it was Bird and Magic. And before that, you would say Dr. J a little bit, before a little bit ABA yeah. stuff. But, I mean, the evolution of the league, where it was when the David Stern years compared to where it is now, I think it's interesting. The product as itself isn't, like, we're not watching the game as we used to as a whole. But for me, it's just good to see basketball back on TV again. I like watching the first month of the season to see how things, the teams stack up. The first 15 to 20 games, we see the teams really line up and see where they are. And then you have the back end. And then the second half of the season in the playoffs, that's when I really start to look and pay attention to things. And I like to see how these players align themselves in these teams. Going back to LeBron, I'm intrigued to see how he starts his year, even though he's coming off of he's resting, I guess, sciatica in his back. He's old, yeah. It's never been done at this
That's
level.
The injury. It's old.
Sciatica. Okay. Old. All right, so let me see you do a lip right now. But yeah, with that said,
Factual. He's in his 40s. It's sciatica. Yeah, like, I'm not even knocking it. It's all his age.
Or is it a power play?
Yeah, that, yeah.
I think there's more behind the scenes than what we see. And so you got to do what you got to do because you got the Luka era now. But, like, once again, I appreciate his career. One thing I will say, this young man from day one had a game plan and had the mindset to implement it. And he knew something that none of us knew. Even when he was being interviewed, you look back at the interviews, he has been consistent on the vision and the journey that he wanted to uphold. And he, I gotta say, gotta give him his props. You know, like, he stayed out of any major scandals that we know of yet. Even though we have this bank scandal happening right now, we don't know. But I mean, like, you know, you gotta. I like to look at the brighter side of things and look at what these guys bring to the table, both on and off the court, and how they uplift our people. This guy has a school. He's done so much. I remember Jordan was getting his people were getting shot for his shoes because they were so expensive, and he wouldn't bring down the price. You know, so like, you know, you can look at the man, you can look at the player. I just look to appreciate what they have and look how they evolve as men.
Yeah, but going back to this topic for a second, though, like, the fact that it's been a mainstay in media, whether it's linear or social media and all this stuff for so long,
yeah,
I think it's, like, to me, where this all started was, I still remember this, Jan. It was, I want to say about 2013. It was right, whatever the year was when LeBron won the second title with the Heat, right? Mm-hmm. And you started hearing commentators like, man, he's inching close to Jordan. Yeah, and I'm like, what are you talking about?
Mm-hmm.
I'm like, that... He won. He just went back to back. Mm-hmm. Like, he's just starting this. You know what I mean? Like, mm-hmm. he's 1-1-6-1 is when his fourth finals went 2-2. Let me finish. Let's at least pump the brakes on this first. Mm-hmm. You know what I mean? Mm-hmm. But about a year or so later, you started hearing that conversation keep being pumped in the media, keep mm-hmm. being pumped. And then I'll never forget this one day I walked into this gym that I normally play at, all of a sudden, guys are like, yo, you know what? Yeah, I think LeBron is coming close to Jordan. I'm like, whoa. I said, yo, the power of media is an incredible
the propaganda
thing. It's like radio. It's like radio. Like we say, it's like, you may hate this song, but, you know, at least linear radio back in the day, you may hate this song, but a month later, you're like, you're sitting there like humming the song that you hated. You know what I mean? Because you heard it 587 times on the radio. And now you're like, now it's part of your playlist, or back then maybe it won't make your mixtape, but at least you're going to be listening to that song. So to me, it's like you started seeing it from there, and then it just hasn't stopped. It hasn't stopped. And at the beginning it was cool, but I think now, I think it's a lazy topic.
I agree. I agree with you. But I think when he won that second one, the potential, because that second one was a big one, because they weren't supposed to win. They came back and won that game 6 in San Antonio, and then with that Ray Allen 3, and then he finished it. He finished the deal in game 7, right? He finished the deal, and then he won it. So it was a very astounding second championship, right? So you're thinking at the top, at that time, he's on top of the world. I agree.
Not even close to Jamal. No. Yes, on top of the world. Yes, of course, he won.
Like, but you're looking, they're looking at the...
The narrative,
and what could possibly leading up to four? Because think about it, they out of two, what, 4 years they won two championships. They should have won three. The Dallas won, woof, nightmares. With that said, I think with that narrative,
or you could flip it and say they might have won one because the realm isn't that three. Yeah,
true.
You know what I mean? Like it can go by both ways, right? But
when he won the Cleveland one. That's when I started hearing the whispers, because he made history to come back and to do that. And it was against such a great team, because they broke the record, right? So that's when I think he made a comment. See, I don't think he helped himself.
No.
But maybe cannot comment and saying, I got to be the great, or whatever he said.
Yeah.
I think that was a little ahead of the game. Yeah. But that's ego. I get it. Sometimes when you're hearing your own, you're smelling your own stuff, cologne, you feel nice. I get it. But, like, you know, that was a big championship. Once again, I'm not going to jump the gun. I'm going to wait and observe and appreciate this man's career. Because, like, he's still, like, every time he steps on the court, he's breaking records. He's setting new standards. And I'm intrigued to see. Because I could tell, like, even between LeBron, KD, and Curry, you could tell those guys are playing at a high elite level at their age. So it's interesting to see how these guys play in this upcoming season, or this current season, how they move on going forward, how many years they have left in their bodies individually, and how the league moves on after these guys.
Yeah.
You know, because I don't see a face. Like, they're pushing Anthony Edwards. He's showing. This guy got a little baby mamas in the background. then Shea. They don't want him because he's not American. He's Canadian, so that's not them. So they're looking to push their next American face.
They're going to hope it's Cooper, but that's going to be a while if that even happens.
They're putting so much pressure on this guy right now. he's not even excelling at the point guard position, and the team is like, he's not ready. See what Giannis, Jason Kidd did the same thing with Giannis, but Giannis was in his second, third year. Yeah. He had some seasoning. This kid's coming fresh, yeah. Right?
That's too much.
That's too much. He's bringing the ball up and bringing, and like, that's a basketball 101. You don't pick up your dribble.
Yeah.
He's picking up his dribble. He's not confident. Yeah, no.
Not yet.
He doesn't understand. Yeah. So it's going to take some time, but in the time that's going to take for them, they're going to take some losses and it's going to hurt them. So their fans, woo-hoo. And then Anthony Davis.
I know. My God. My God, man. It's, yeah, I mean, it's not surprising, though, is it? It's not surprising.
I'll say this. He, in fairness to him, he couldn't work on his body because of the surgery he had in his eyes. He can't, his eyes couldn't get wet, so he couldn't do nothing. With that said, to come into shape, sorry, to come into the season and to try use the preseason and the regular season to lose weight at this stage of your career is grossly unprofessional.
Yeah.
Shaq used to do that.
Yeah.
And it's just like, it used to kill me because you could do, if you're not putting your best foot forward as a professional, then what are we doing here? You know, because I saw the game against San Antonio and Wemby destroyed him. And you could tell AD wasn't at his best to compete
with that.
To compete with that. Yeah. To even put up a fight. So he accepted it.
And Wemby, I mean, we'll talk about him in a moment, but like he came for everybody. He's hungry. You can see that youthful hunger.
This guy worked with Hakeem Olajuwon.
Yeah.
This guy worked with Kevin Garnett.
And the Shaolin monks?
This guy went to the Shaolin monks in Tibet, or wherever he went. Okay? This kid's on a different wave. So he has it. See, once again, he's young, and he understands the potential of his legacy, and so he's going after it. Like, you can see, he's playing with intention. He's taking the jump shots and the fadeaways, but he's also attacking the basket. And he's playing on both ends of the floor. So, like, it's going to be interesting to see what, we don't know what this is going to evolve to, because there's so much growth in every area. He's going coast to coast, crossing guys. He's doing fadeaways, jumping this much off the ground, and no one's in the vicinity. And he's dunking on guys on his tippy toes.
What's crazy about him is when he was working out with the Shaolin monks, once I saw that clip, I said, oh, yeah, that's a whole different, that's a disciplined mindset that you have to have. You know what I mean? Yeah. Like, and for you to do that, like, It's discipline to control your emotions and to be dangerous.
I look at him. I look at that mentality, looking to explore for personal growth. And then I see, like Ben Simmons.
Yeah.
So this is like, you know what I mean? Like the contrast of willpower and discipline and willing to go to the next level to improve.
Yeah, no, it's wild. But yeah, like I said, because to your point about the future of basketball, right? Like, where do you see it going? Because, like, yeah, the guys are, like, the Currys and the LeBrons and these guys are starting to, you know, they're coming towards the end of the line. Mm-hmm. And the new era is starting to come up. So, yeah. Like, what do you think about where the future of basketball is going?
I think it looks bright in a sense in a global stage because you got a lot of players from all over the world coming to present, it's just not, the product is not watchable because it's not a good brand of basketball until you get to the finals or with certain teams. Certain teams I will not watch on TV because I know they have no championship aspirations. They're just looking to fill their arena and play their players. There's certain teams that have championship aspirations like the Clevelands. I'm interested to see what Cleveland's going to do in the East. I'm interested to see what New York does. If Oklahoma can repeat. And Denver looks good.
Yeah.
I'm looking to see what Minnesota has. Like, there's a lot of different deep teams in the West. Yeah. Houston, I don't think they're ready because they don't have a point guard. It's going to come in the playoffs because you can't get into your sets. Like, I remember watching a game early in the year, and KD couldn't get the ball in crunch time. So it was just one of those things. So I'll reserve, like, judgment in the sense of I'm going to continue to watch the product because I'm a fan of the game, but I'm intrigued to see how it's going to evolve once these guys move on because the new faces, I feel it's going to take a lot for us to gravitate to them
yeah.
for what they bring.
And it's funny because, and this is, like I said, this is why the whole thing with the Jordan LeBron topic is lazy because it's weird. It's funny because I remember Barkley said this last year, and I totally agreed. It's like there's so much good storylines that we could be talking about right now and focused on, especially with regards to like Shea and and to me and all that stuff. And it's like we're still harping on this Jordan LeBron topic, or we're harping on this like the old guard LeBron Curry. And I respect everything these guys have done for the game in terms of like keeping it going. But I'm like, at the same time, I'm like, you can't, like, you're not. And see, part of this new media contract that's happening right now, like with NBC and Amazon Prime and stuff, they're like, if you see how they're moving with the future in mind. They're not focusing so much on what these guys are doing, because I'm like, they know this is an 11-year contract. These guys by year 10, 11, they're going to be long gone from the game. And you got to focus on the Wembys and the Shays and the you know, and the Cooper Flags and the Edwards and all these guys that are coming and other ballers who's still in high school that we haven't even seen yet. Mm-hmm. You know what I mean? Like they're focused on that. Like, the new generation is coming.
So you're saying to cut you off, but you're saying that they need to focus more on the other storylines rather than the main ones of the
and I get it because of ratings, right? Like it's like the Lakers, the Cowboys, Yankees, like they're gonna listen to a certain amount of ratings. Like, that's how it is. You know what I mean? Like it is what it is. Like they're gonna solicit that. But at the same time, it's like we do have to move in a certain aspect. Like I said, when every time we talk about like, oh, this guy's my GOAT, Jordan's my GOAT, LeBron's my GOAT, I'm like, at this stage, I hate all GOATs. I don't even like Curry GOAT at this stage. Like, I hate it all. You know what I'm saying? Like, we got to move away from this, man.
I agree.
And I'll be honest with you. I think with this whole Jordan LeBron thing, I don't think it helps LeBron's legacy for this conversation, and not for the ways that you might think. I think because I'm like, without this conversation, I think you appreciate the person's greatness more.
Mm-hmm. Agreed. Mm-hmm.
But this topic makes him more polarizing because he's still playing. Jordan's not playing anymore. He's solidified. He's in the Hall of Fame. He's got his shoes. Got everything going on.
But you know, it's how he's doing. He has his little show now.
Yeah, yeah. But I also think that I think personally, it's kind of a way to honor back the old school, but also I think they're kind of using some of the things that he's saying to kind of usher in that, because I know the whole load management thing that came up and it was, I know that was like the trending topic for the week or whatever, but I think they're partly doing that. I'm sure part of it is because it's like, if he's saying it, people are going to pay attention to it. Whether it affects the younger generation will remain to be seen, but I think they're doing it to say, like, we're the new media conglomerates that's taking over this game for the next 10 years. We don't want to see load management in this thing anymore.
Mm.
We want to see, like, you know what I mean? Mm. Like, when these guys are stars or the Wembys and stuff are playing, they're not going to be held back because of load management.
Mm.
Like, these guys are on our you know, the NBC has a Peacock and all this stuff and all the subsidiary channels.
Mm-hmm.
We want these guys playing as much as they can. Mm-hmm. You know what I mean?
Mm-hmm.
Because like the missing stars and stuff, it does hurt the game. Like, I remember, you know, rest in peace to Headley, but I remember one time he had called me. This is when Porzingis and Carmelo were still in the Knicks, right? So he called me up. He's like, yo, I got tickets to go check the Raptors. Went over there. I'm like, yo, I haven't seen Carmelo play in person before. Shit, okay, cool. And
go check it out. Yeah,
let's go check it out. Jana parked the car, paid parking. I'm walking. I'm maybe about two blocks away from Bay Street. I look at my phone. Porzingis and Carmelo are out tonight. Late scratch due to whatever, resting.
Mm-hmm.
And I'm like, and I think the game at the time was on, I think it was on TNT. So we sat, had good seats, and we're watching the Raptors play a bunch of nobodies.
Mm-hmm.
You know what I mean? Mm-hmm. And I'm like, you just lost ratings.
The value's the product.
Mm-hmm. Like, I'm like, I'm already here, but I'm like, honestly, it goes free tickets. We both had it. But because we came so close, I was like, we may as well go. But if I was halfway down there, I might have turned around and went home.
In retrospect, in the old days, these guys would, like Jordan, his mentality was he wanted to put on a show for that one kid that was going to be there for the first time.
Right. That may never be able to see him again,
right? So it's just a different mentality years later. But the game has changed. The players are...
But it's not all just on the players.
Yeah.
People forget it's the GMs and stuff that are making players do this as well. It's part of the culture. Like, the culture now is different with that.
Mm-hmm. Right? Well, you look at Embiid.
Yeah.
Like, he's on a minutes restriction, and he's a year removed from a surgery, And he's still, like, I'm looking at him. He doesn't look confident in himself. And he, so he's just going through the motions. And it's like, it's a battle within a battle within a battle. Because he's battling himself. He's battling his body. He's trying to figure out what is the new me or the remixed me, you know? Am I ever going to be that old guy, the MVP? He doesn't know. And then he's watching these young guys take over the team. And now he's like, am I going to get shipped out? Is my time coming gone? So he realizes now he has to put up.
Yeah, no, fact.
Because it's years and years of this. Yeah. Right? It's like, I think it's phasing out because it took such a bad hit on these teams, the process. But once again, it will be interesting to see. They have to, obviously, like, I noticed that OKC is getting more publicity, the team, because they won. They have to. So you got to do that. I noticed Denver gets a lot of love as well. Yeah. Houston gets a lot of love. So these major teams,
they're good. Like, yeah. These teams are, like, they're great to watch. You want them to have that.
You could tell they're trying to push for a LaMelo Ball, but he is not ready for the maturity of what, as a player. So, you know, he's still doing the N1 mixtape, which that's not going to win at this level. You could be flashy, but it's not going to win games. So it's going to be interesting to see.
That's why I said if there was, I feel like with LaMelo, if there was an N1 league, I don't think he would sign with them, of course, but he would think about it.
Like if he, like for example, like he, the NBA would win if he would make it to the playoffs because they could showcase his skill set, the younger generation who loves him because he has a lot of love.
And he's entertaining. The teams are entertaining to watch. But you know how, like I said, it's not, like an 80s sitcom. You know
it's not winning basketball.
It's like I said this before. It's like an episode of Family Matters. Yeah. You know the music's gonna play.
Yeah.
You know it's gonna come with an L, and they're gonna play the difference making a family, and then they're gonna ride off with the piano loop, and that's it, right? Like you know how the show's gonna end, right? It's like, but like I said, it's the future is now, and I really do want this LeBron and Jordan conversation to cease because I'm like, it doesn't, at this stage now, like I said, it's just laziness. It's lazy to go back to having to do this over and over again, having these discussions over and over again. Cause I'm like, I never really thought it was an authentic conversation. And I think it's less than authentic now.
It will never stop. It will continue between the old and the young. It's a barbershop.
And that part is fine, but those two in particular, because I'm like, you're leaving out you're leaving out like a guy's like a Kareem. Like Kareem who lost maybe one or two games from high school and college. You know what I mean? Who's the greatest high school player of all time. Then what did he three-time
collegiate
player of the year and won all three times, lost maybe a game in college, and then does what he does in the NBA for 20 years, which is
all-time leading scorer.
Yeah, unheard of until they recently got passed by LeBron, right? Yeah. But that, I'm saying, like, that whole career, like, we need to... I'm not saying we need to... Like, of course, we need to celebrate guys like him more, but it's like, when we're having these GOAT conversations, I'm like, it's not going to stop, you're right, to a certain extent. But I just think it has to be... It has to be, at least in the media, it's got to be a little more nuanced. Like, outside in the street, whatever, people are going to have those conversations. But
people will always gravitate to that narrative, and that's what brings people to the screen, because they always talk about it. It might not be the top story now, but it'll be on the news feed somewhere down the line. It is lazy, but, like, you know, you got guys like Stephen A. that will always push the Jordan. Then you have these younger guys that will push the LeBron. And so I think as more years go by and they're phasing out the older guys, you could have more newer heads who have a more, not to say newer perspective, but have a younger mindset and will go over what LeBron did more so than Jordan because they didn't see Jordan play. They just saw the highlights. They don't understand the importance of what he did and how hard it was to beat that guy. Like, I'm looking on YouTube videos of all the playoffs he had against the Knicks, the Indiana Pacers, all the challenges that went to game sevens, all the teams that gave those guys the problems. And like Jordan gets a lot of the praise, but Scottie Pippen, Kukoc, Dennis Rodman all put a lot to the table to bring that team what it was.
Sure, but I think though that like, I think The Last Dance kind of showed it where it's like, he did cultivate that culture.
Oh, for sure. Oh, yeah. He's very responsible for it.
Of course, you got to pay respect to Pippen and all those guys, too. But Pippen, I always say this. I'm like, would Scottie Pippen still be Scottie Pippen if he got drafted or he stayed in Seattle instead of getting drafted to Chicago? Would he still?
No.
I don't think so.
I don't think so either.
I don't think so. I don't think some of these guys are who they are.
Yeah, but.
Like, now, the second chip, a little different because it's all vets and stuff. But that first one, I'm like, he had to, like, he grew that culture. Now, I think, you know what I mean? Like, I don't know if everybody's made for that culture because, you know, Jordan wasn't the greatest guy either.
I want to say something to you, but do you remember that first championship? Jordan covered Magic the first game and got lit up. Mm-hmm. And Phil Jackson put Pippen on Magic. Yeah. And Pippen harassed Magic full court because he had the they were saying should they give MVP to Pippen for what he did both defensively, and he had good numbers, but Jordan was just, he's putting up 30s 40s, right? So you can't compare, but Pippen was the real MVP of that first series in a sense of what he did both defensively, offensively, how he ran the offense. I was watching the series, I was like, wow, Magic, this is, you know, I was going to get up, but I can't get up, but Magic is backing him down every possession that wears on you.
Yeah.
You know?
Yeah. So. And I think at the end of the day, before we wrap, it's like with Jordan, it's like he helped to cultivate that culture and the, like, you know what I mean? So it's like, I'm like, you ought to give praise to that. Yeah. But I'm like, where I see this whole thing now going where it's like, you know, like, we're done with the 90s, Jordan can't go left. And I'm like, when you see it, like, mutate to this, I'm kind of like, at this stage, I'm like, can I just, that's where I log off. Yeah, that's why log off my social media, because I'm just like, like, now we're just changing history now, because we're trying to fit your narrative in, and it's like, that's where it's getting stupid.
Yes.
And that's why I'm like, that topic needs to go, because it's breeding this, and I don't think that's going to help the sport go forward. I don't think so. You know what I mean? Especially those two guys should be celebrated for their own rights of leading the generation. But I think, like I said, again, there's new guys coming,
yeah.
Like a Wemby. Like, I think what's going to happen now, I think, with Wemby is, I think Wemby is going to be at the stage where it's like, okay, now we're going to have to get guys to deal with him. So the league is going to get bigger. I was thinking the league was going to get bigger a few years ago, because once, you know, the NBA is a copycat league. Once the MVPs start to become like the Joker and the Giannis, and in beads and stuff, and the guys are getting bigger, and all of a sudden now you're gonna have to start to deal with this. Mm-hmm. You have to start getting guys a little bit bigger now. Whereas, you know, 10 years ago it was small, and it was, you know what I mean, like, it was a lot of small ball.
Mm-hmm.
Now it's like you're gonna have
going back to the big man.
You're gonna have to, yeah. And I'm not saying that's to go back to the way it was in the '90s. Mm-hmm. I'm not saying that, but I'm just saying you're gonna have to deal with, like, now you 7'5" guys don't grow on trees. Mm-hmm. But you're going to need more big guys now. And the more big guys that are skilled are going to get uberly paid. You know what I mean? Like, and that's where the league is going, and how the money is, like, just multiplying and going up and adding up.
Mm-hmm.
At this stage now, I'm like, if you're somebody now that's your kid's going to be 6'10", 6'11", 7 feet tall. I'm like, I think it's... the light's going to start to, it's going to kind of reverse back to the mean. So like I said, it's not going to go back to the 90s where it's like inside and just whatever. But mm-hmm. I'm like, it's going to go back to the mean a little bit where, like, the big guys are now going to get their praise again.
I agree. I think you're seeing, but the big man, okay, it'll never go back to the same way because of the skill sets of today and how the game is being reffed and how the game's been played, right? So it'll never go back to that way. Right. I agree with you on that. I think... the big men are making a comeback, but the skilled big men are making a comeback. You could have two bigs now play now. They weren't doing that before. It was all small ball. So it's all about catching, figuring out. As a coach, you got to know what your players are and how they can implement your system. I find a lot of NBA coaches and coaches in general force players to play their system instead of changing your system to the players that you have, right? So that's one thing. So that's coaching. Having two big men is going to be interesting because OKC is following that trend. They got two skilled big men. One's more of a throwback and a hype. What's his name? I can't pronounce his name. Harkenstein, yeah. And then you have Chet, who's like a hybrid, who's like a unicorn in the sense of he can shoot threes, he can rebound, he's a little slender, he can slash. He gives you a little of everything across the board. So you're seeing that now. You're seeing the Jokers. You're seeing guys like Giannis playing more forwards. You got Embiid, you got AD, you got AD playing with
Şengün.
You got Şengün playing with Adams. So you're seeing the double bigs coming back more so now. So it's going to be interesting. The spacing, they could do it because the power forwards can now shoot consistently from the perimeter. So it'll be interesting to see where the league goes in that realm. But once again, in order to be the man, you got to beat the man. And the champions are OKC. They look dangerous, and they're winning games. Close games right now, and it's just like they're gonna be a problem. And I don't, only team I see that's gonna give them a run in the West right now is Denver. Denver looks ready.
They're built for it.
They are built for it.
And they already won, so they know.
Yes, they know it. Murray looks good. Everyone look. Braun, I'm impressed. Braun, you know, over the years, you always see a white guy slam on black guys with no fear, with reckless abandon. This kid gives no shit. He takes off. He doesn't care. And so it's just like, wow. So I was like, okay, that's a good signing. I was like, that's a big contract. He signed a big contract this summer. So he's balling out. So they look good.
Gordon is tough. Cam Johnson, I think that trade was great.
Yes. He's fit in perfectly.
Perfect. Yeah. It was great. But I'll say this because before we wrap, like, you know, again, to your point, props to Shea. We're going to do this again, the next season because, like I said, this is the intro for the next season. But because, of course, we got to talk Canadian basketball, where Shea's taking the game.
Yeah.
You know,
it's not even just him, just all the other Canadians.
100%, but the fact that the MVP and the champion is a guy from Hamilton that's not too far from here. Mm-hmm. You know, props to him and his whole family, man. Yeah. Family is from here too. And like it's a beautiful thing to see. And and I mean they're poised to be strong for the next week. Like if you're not tired of Shea, let me rephrase that. If you think you're tired of Shea, then get ready because the way this train is coming now.
Coming, yeah.
Boy, I'm like they're set up for the future. They're young and they know how to win already.
Yeah.
Good luck to you.
Yeah.
Good luck to you because usually when these young teams are bubbling, we're always waiting for them to win. But when you get it early, you know, and they're egoless and they're following the footsteps of the leader, which Shea seems to be pretty egoless in terms of sharing the wealth and stuff. Mm-hmm. Bro, like this can go on for a long time, and like I said, the fact that it's somebody from just outside the GTA, it's from a Canadian boy that's riding this, it's beautiful to see, man. So we are definitely gonna do this again.
Yeah.
So thank you for hopping on the stoop, man.
No worries, man. No worries.
Appreciate you, your patience, and all that. And last thing I want to say is
here we go.
Yeah, Batch is waiting for you, man. So at some point we're
gonna that name will come up.
Yeah.
I gotta face that guy at some point. But I gotta face him. I was like on the drive up here, I was like, ah shoot. I gotta see that guy. I was talking so much. And then but it's okay. Hey, you're not gonna see me for a while, buddy.